Morning, everyone, and you're very welcome to Westside this Sunday morning. We're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to read from Acts chapter 8, verse 28 to 40. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we turn to your precious Word. Help us, Lord, as we examine Scripture. Lord, please speak through it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're turning now to Acts chapter 8, Acts 8 and verse 28 to 40. Acts 8, 28 to 40. And we'll go back to verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all towns until he reached Caesarea. And we'll conclude our reading there at verse 40 of Acts chapter 8. Last Sunday in our series on essentials of the followers of Jesus, we looked at salvation, the essential of being saved by grace through faith in God. We each one individually believe in the Lord Jesus and are saved not by what we have done, but by what he has done, just like the Philippian jailer who we looked at last week. It is where each person must start their Christian walk, salvation through Christ. Today, our next essential for the follower of Jesus is to be grounded in the Word. Christians are people who cherish the Bible. Our lives are shaped by the Scriptures. They inform, they motivate, they comfort, they rebuke, they sharpen, and they direct as they are read and applied by the work of the Holy Spirit to our lives. The Bible is no ordinary book. It is a volume of two testaments, Old Testament and New Testament, which makes up 66 books, 1,189 chapters, and 31,103 verses. The scriptures were written by 40 different writers from three different continents over a period of around 2,000 years, all telling of God's wonderful story of redemption from creation to salvation, through to the future new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. Even though the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, estimated 5 billion copies, there are presently 52 countries in the world today where owning a copy of the Bible is dangerous, illegal, are highly restrictive. Interesting that one of these countries is Ethiopia. The governments view it as propaganda, a Western book, and seem to fear what is written in the Bible, and rightly so, as it is a special book that can and does change lives. What a privilege we have here to own, read, and distribute God's word. Let's keep our fellow Christians in prayer who do not enjoy this freedom. The Bible has the most historically attested ancient documents in all of history. No other ancient book has as many of the old documents to compare to. Without the Bible, how could we know the fundamental Christian truths about God and about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus? Without the Bible, it would be impossible to understand what it really means to be a Christian. In our reading from Acts chapter 8 this morning, we find this man from Ethiopia reading from the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand who the passage was referring to. Philip, a disciple of the Lord, was directed by the Holy Spirit to him and was able to explain that Isaiah was talking about a man called Jesus. The Ethiopian man believed the good news about Jesus. He was baptized and went on his way rejoicing. He was a changed man. The way to learn about God is to listen to him. One of the first things we find out about God in the opening chapter of the Bible is that he is the creator and that he recreated. He created just by speaking. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created." And in verse 3 it says, "Let there be light." And that's what God says. Each of the 6 days of creation comes about by the word of our creator God. God speaks, and by his word things are created. Isn't it interesting, earlier when we were reading that first few verses of the creation, where after God created the two great lights in the sky, the sun and the moon, and then it just says, "And he made the stars also." What a throwaway comment, and yet what amazing creation that God made the stars also. What an amazing God we have. One of the most precious things we have in the Bible, and we have, is the Bible. When you read and heed the Bible, you are listening to God talking to you. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. When you do what the Bible asks you to do, you are being obedient to God. Let's read another passage there now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. And this tells us more about God's word. Let's look up these verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Looking right now. And we read into chapter 4 and verse 8, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. "You, however, know all about my teaching, all my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." I'm going to finish our reading in chapter 4 there in verse 8. In chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul tells the younger Timothy something about the Bible that we should not ignore. He says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture, not just part of it, comes from God. We should see the Bible as a different kind of book to any other kind of book. Even so-called holy books. The Bible comes from the authority of God. God breathed means it comes from God's own mouth, as it were. It is Him speaking, and it is Him speaking to you and to me. God does make Himself known in creation as we look around us and see His handiwork and design. But having the actual words of God in Scripture, we can properly, fully understand both His actions, His character, and His love for each one of us, and how He wishes to have a relationship with each one of us. How do we get our Bible as we have it today? Paul, writing in Thessalonians 2:13, says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human words, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." The word of God that was received was handed down by God through those who had first heard it, and they told others. A question may come to mind: how can the Bible be from men, or really be from God? How can we be sure that the writers wrote exactly what was given to them by God to write? Well, 2 Peter 1 verse 16 says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised," that is, made up, "stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And a few verses down, in verses 20 and 21, Peter writes, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Everything written in the Bible was written because God wanted the writer to write it and inspired it by the Holy Spirit. They communicated what God wanted to say in the pages of Scripture. The individual books of the Bible are so different, and yet the Bible is so united in all its overall message and doesn't contradict itself. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Matthew, John, Luke, Paul, and James, and others wrote, and God used their individual styles to communicate exactly what He wanted to say, so that the generations that followed could read His words. There are many different types of writing that God used in the Bible: law, history, poetry, prophecy, genealogy, and narrative, all written to convey God's message to us. Because the Bible is God's own word, it can teach, rebuke, and correct and train its readers. 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us. It is essential for the follower of Jesus to listen to and to obey God's voice in Scripture. Read it, heed it, for God knows we need it. What is our response? What are we to do with the Word of God? Is the Bible important for the follower of Jesus? Yes, it is essential for the follower of Jesus to read and listen to the Bible regularly through the week. What do we read most regularly? Social media, newspapers, or the Bible? As followers of Jesus, it is essential to find or to make time to read the Word of God. Get a Bible app, follow a reading plan, use Bible notes, keep your Bible close, listen to it as you travel. Read and listen to God's Word. Before coming to God's Word, ask the Lord to speak to you through the verses you read that day. Ask, "What is God saying to me here today?" Take the fingers of your hand as ways to come to God's Word, the Bible. Say, "Listen, read, study, memorize, and meditate." Digest the Word of God. Give these times priority so that your life will continue to be shaped and formed by God's Word. It's one thing to read and listen to God's Word, but we also need to obey what it says. Yes, what He says. It should change your thinking, challenge your worldview, the way you treat others, give you a love for the lost, and so much more as you become more Christ-like, being fashioned by God's Word. So this week's essential: the Bible, the Word of God, an essential for the follower of Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for giving us your precious word, the Bible. What an amazing book, unlike any other book in the whole world. It is a life-giving book that can change lives because of you who wrote it. We thank you, Lord, that we have it in our hands, We pray for your children in other lands where Bibles are not easily available. Pray for organizations that work to distribute Bibles to people, especially in countries close to Christianity and the gospel. Help us to delve into your word and give us a hunger to read and to study the scriptures. And we ask these things in and through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.